Ella Baker was a teenager at Shaw University in the mid-1920s when she engaged in her first real fight. Female students at Shaw weren't allowed to wear silk stockings on campus, and although she didn't have any herself, Baker thought the rule was wrong. She recalled the incident in an interview with the Southern Oral History Program at UNC Chapel Hill 50 years later.
No, I didn't break rules, but I challenged rules, you see. And I didn't have sense enough not to do the speaking, even for groups that were older than I.
Fighting for the rights of others became Baker's lifelong work. She graduated as Shaw's valedictorian in 1927 and went to work on political issues in New York. She was an organizer with the NAACP in the 1930s and 40s and joined the Southern Christian Leadership Conference in the 1950s. Duke history professor William Chafe.
Well, Ella Baker was one of the most remarkable people to live in this century and had more to do with the shape and structure of the civil rights movement than probably any other person, including Dr. King.
Baker's work to that point set the stage for the civil rights movement. On February 4, 1960, four students at North Carolina A&T sparked a sit-in movement across the South. And Baker, the SCLC's best organizer, was given the task of harnessing the youth movement. She first wanted to hold a meeting at A&T, but that couldn't be arranged. So she turned instead to her alma mater.
I knew the dean, a young dean at the show, and a young minister, and they began to work on it for me. We went there at the conference, and I was hoping for not more than, say, 100 and some. And so it ended up about 300 or more people.
Martin Luther King Jr. was there. So was James Lawson and Julian Bond and John Lewis. But no one was more influential than Baker. The SCLC and the NAACP were top-down organizations run by men. She didn't want the students to be a wing of either one. She envisioned an inclusive, standalone group. She got her way. The Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, or SNCC, was born. And it was also Baker's idea that the group pursue two equally crucial agendas, direct action and voter registration. SNCC quickly organized all over the South, leading to some of the pivotal moments in American history. The Freedom Rides, the March on Washington, and the Freedom Summer of 1964 in Mississippi, where students faced enormous resistance.
I think we had an incident provoked here by the people who have been in our community trying to stir up some, just agitating against, for a general integration thing.
This was the front line of the civil rights movement, and Chafe says SNCC was fighting the battles.
SNCC basically carries the burden of the direct action campaign. SNCC is spearheading the movement and making the kind of impact on young people, which is pivotal because in the end it's the young people who carry the burden.
Baker continued to advise SNCC until 1966. Stokely Carmichael took it over that year, and the group became more militant. Within 2 years, SNCC effectively dissolved. In her later life, Baker spoke out against apartheid in South Africa and for other freedom causes. She died in 1986, and Chafe says the scene at her funeral demonstrated her power as a uniting force during tumultuous times.
When she dies, it's the first occasion when people from both sides of the division within SNCC come together to honor her, because she is really, literally, the person who gave birth to the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee.
This week, some of those same people will return to Ella Baker's alma mater to remember the movement she helped start. Silk stockings are optional. Dave DeWitt, North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.